Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 446, Quiet and Peace. I love the titles of my episodes. It's like stages of my life. And this one I worded specifically, you know, you typically hear the peace and quiet. And I switched it. And basically, I discovered that I was, you know, finding a lot of quiet in my life. And that gave me peace. But it was because of peace. So where you are determines if you're able to enjoy and appreciate the quiet. And if you can, that's what gives you the peace. And that was kind of the big epiphany this past week or so that I kind of came to. Dealing with some noise, dealing with some with some heat. And it was just, you know, kind of cool to still pump the brakes and do like an inventory. And what's going on? And then one day I just walked outside to my little hangout area with Zen. And I go, I can't remember what it was, like kind of one thing I wanted to write down. But I got this like free paper and loose paper. And I grabbed this clipboard, my wooden clipboard. And I just walk out there and boom, I just started writing this stuff. Experiences, thoughts. And then I wrote this poem about the quiet in my life. And I was like, wow, I've deemed quiet so important that I've searched for it and found it, and now I'm celebrating it. And not really consciously aware of that. But it's so present in my life. I was like, what's up with all this quiet time? Like, I don't want anything to affect that. Like, I really value it. And I'm like, okay. And this is kind of how I start the whole episode is, you know, I've always said if someone 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago said, hey, Tom, this is what you're doing at 57, I'd be like, what? If they explained it in detail, my life as is, I would be like, what are you talking about? But if at the end they said, but you're the best version of you and you're at peace for the first time, I'd be like, okay. All right, I'll take that. I just think I would. So that's kind of the story behind this episode. I hope it resonates. I mean, that's why I do what I do. But I'm just feeling good about my experiences, my walk, my journey. And that's what I get to share. You know, you can listen or not listen. But there's no real, that didn't happen, Tom. That occurs on this podcast because everything that I share is my journey and it did happen. So deem yourself worthy and start that journey that you can, look back on and make you smile and sit around in the quiet with peace and just be filled with joy. Anybody has questions, comments, anything you'd like to share, thinking about training, holler out. ProUpodcast@gmail.com. Would love to hear from anybody. Enjoy. Double check to make sure that came through, but I really, really loved that whole quote, and I sent it to a friend, and I thought, well, let me just try to play that and record that, and that's what I did. So hopefully that worked, but I wanted to start with that. And then I've actually gone on Instagram like 3 times since I've been off social media. And just to look, I mean, there's stuff I enjoyed looking at, and, you know, and for example, a quote that I stumbled upon. I'm like, well, let me share this. So it's kind of funny, though, because it says, "You'll never be undisciplined again after implementing these 6 habits. Swipe left." And you swipe left, and there's 4 habits listed. I'm like, what does that mean exactly? So paint the picture. Envision what your life would look like. Wanted to check my recording, that it's being recorded. All right. Paint the picture. Envision what your life would look like once you begin becoming the person you want to be. Visualize your desired outcomes and how your life will look. When you create mental imagery, you build data points for your subconscious mind to reference. I like that. Identify your why. Without purpose, your focus and fuel to press forward flounders. Spell out exactly why you're pursuing the things it is that you want to achieve. Love that. Your why creates the foundation for self-discipline. Your purpose provides power. Love that. Although we didn't get all 6, I love the 4 we got. Embrace discomfort. If you're never able to tolerate a little bit of pain and discomfort, you'll never get better. Reframe the pain of growth from discomfort for what it really is. Dream fuel. This pattern of thinking will have you looking forward to the grind. Start small. The best way to not build self-discipline is to try and make dozens of changes at once. That's a surefire recipe for failure. Instead, find 2 things at the top of your list you want to change and start there. There we go. Did I have one more here? Yeah, I actually sent this to Scott. We don't rise to the level of our expectations. We fall to the level of our training. And whatever him and I were talking about at the time really, really resonated, because it's like, well, you know, like your training, like when I think about the mental stuff before the dentist, and it was like, okay, I'm in the chair. What happens? Well, this is what I've been doing, and that was the default. That's where I ended up. So, Quiet and Peace, episode title. I think it's just more commonly heard or put together as peace and quiet. I just want peace and quiet. Like, maybe it's just alphabetical. But I purposely changed it to quiet and peace. And it really became talking to Scott about, you know, me disliking most people and how that would kind of add, that would be another variable where I would, you know, stop doing certain things, or why I would leave a job or whatever. And I thought more and more about that, like, what was the end result? And I go, you know, it's truly about me, like, finding quiet. And that's actually been a title of another episode. And I'm like, well, what's the deal with the whole quiet thing? You know, and I'm like, I just have a lot of it. And I go, it's like subconsciously I must have been pursuing it. And I thought, I walked outside. My little hangout area was Zen. And I didn't know what I went out there to exactly write, but just like 4 pages of stuff just came out. And I like those moments. But I'm realizing how important I believe quiet and peace are to me. and I said this a bunch of times, but if someone told me, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, explained my life at 57, I would be like, what are you talking about? Like, what? Like, I don't even think I would even under, I live where I, what? I'm, you know, just everything about my life right now. If you listed it on paper and you sent it back to me. But I thought if the kicker was, just know that you're the best version you've ever been of yourself. And for the first time in your life, you have peace. I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's total hypothetical. But I would think that the everything that they told me about what I'm doing would like be, what are you talking? I'm alone. I'm not married. I don't talk to my family. I don't really go places. I'm like, what are my best friend's a dog? What are you talking about? Like, what happened? And they go, but you're the best you've ever been. And it's the first time you have peace of mind and peace in your life. And I'm just thinking that little part of me that never gave up would be like, okay, I'll take it. And I'm like, well, I have quiet. And if like people come in and they wreck that, I'm like, I'm out. Or if I'm, you know, doing something and people come in and they're, you know, negative people, it's like they taint that. And I'm like, I'm out. I'll go do something else. And I was like, but I do more and more where it's by myself. And then this came out. Finding quiet. It's quiet at night, sitting alone without light. It's quiet in the morning, listening to a bird sing. It's quiet when I hold Zen, more in love than I've ever been. It's quiet when I walk Zen, every time, again and again. It's quiet at the park, flying above a meadowlark. It's quiet at the beach, no noise within reach. It's quiet when I sit and watch my screensaver and one I truly favor. It's quiet when I read, write, and meditate. It is my baseline, my mental state. It's quiet in my car, destination near or far. It's quiet at the puppy park, even with an occasional bark. It's quiet even when there's noise. Practice makes poise. It's quiet in my head. Enough said. And that's really what I came to. It's quiet in my life because it's something that I'm seeking. But I'm able to do that because it's quiet in my head. And this is what I wrote just, I think, the other day, yesterday. Peace allows for quiet. Quiet allows one to enjoy the peace. And I'm like, that's so cool. But what's so cool about it is I wrote it as I understood it. When I got down, I'm like, that makes total sense to me. I get it. And, you know, I think there's always this part of me talking like, I know who I was for 48 years, exactly what was in my head. So the fact that this is the stuff that's popping in my mind, I walk outside and I write out this, you know, what's important to me. I started, you know, listing quiet in my life. This is how it started. I wrote the quiet. No accidents, like no more, you know, like car accidents. No more speeding tickets. No more getting out of my car mad. The stress, anxiety, fear. No phone calls, no emails, no texts, no birthdays, no holidays, no family, no drama, no wasted energy. And I guess I just kind of kept going towards, you know, I have this. How did I get here? Like, why is it so important for me? And that was the other thing, is it is important to me. So it's like, I don't want, like, okay, if I should do this thing, I'm like, okay, I like the peace and quiet. Is doing that thing going to take away from the peace and quiet? Is it going to change the peace and quiet? You know, it's like, and I just really, I don't know, it was like a big epiphany going, that's what's important to me. And that's when I was like, I wanted to make the title Quiet and Peace. Because in that quote, you know, peace allows for quiet. So I worked very hard to quiet my mind. And in the process of that, you sit alone, you sit with your thoughts, you know, you spend that time alone and you look at the uncomfortable within. And going through all that, you start building this muscle. And that muscle then becomes that thing that allows you to sit in quiet. Like, you know, me sitting and just watching my screensaver. It's like one of the first moments when I was, you know, I had just moved here and I was, you know, still without Zen and, you know, not in a great place, but I was, you know, starting to kind of heal and feel better. And I was just thankful, you know, it just kept growing. It was like the first thing I said day one was, I'm thankful for what I have. And it just built and it built and it built. So I don't know exactly when it was, but I remember even saying it, you know, when it happened. And I know I've mentioned it since then, but I just, you know, came in, sat down in the chair I'm sitting in, and, you know, the screensaver that's actually playing right now, I just sat here. And I don't know how much time I passed, but I just realized there was nothing in my head. I had no, you know, yuck, no feeling, no negative. It was totally dark. I didn't turn a light on. I didn't turn music on. I didn't turn the TV on. And the fact that I was okay in that moment, you know, allowed me to enjoy the screensaver. And, you know, the screensaver, it's, you know, basically, you know, what I did or whatever it was at that time. But now when I watch it, it's, you know, my art at the beach and Zen. So it's like, it's super dope to watch for me. But I'm like, I don't, you know, I've never heard anyone go, man, I was just sitting the other day and watching my screensaver and I just loved it. But I'm like, I say that all the time. And just when I go outside, I always think to myself, you know, most people don't realize I'm 2 blocks east of Highland, which is a pretty busy street, and a block and a half south of Sunset, which obviously is a busy street, and I live in Hollywood. And the majority of the time, it's crazy quiet. And, you know, that's what I've always enjoyed about it. Now, lately, the challenges have been, you know, like 100 different things that are adding to the noise level. But the gift in that is that it hasn't bothered me. You know, right now I'm like, okay, it's kind of cool in the morning. So I just shut the AC off, shut the fans off for a moment, because this is our big week of heat. It reached 106 here on Sunday. So I'm like, okay, I just got to pick a morning, you know, when it's, you know, nice and cool in the apartment, I can shut the fans off and just record. But, you know, the search for quiet to record, you know, all of a sudden I'm like, you know, walking around and I'm like, oh, I'm going to record this moment. Why? It's quiet. And I started going, oh, I found quiet. Oh, searching for quiet, 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 quiet. And I looked about, you know, my life, all the things I did. And it was just like, there's just quiet. And I'm like, well, that can't be accident. There's that much quiet in my life. And I was like, all right, cool. Let me go with this. Let me look into it. And that's when I went out and that's when I started jotting down those notes. And that's when I came up with the poem. And that's, you know, when I started thinking about it. Like, I realized how important that became. I don't think I ever truly had quiet in my mind, therefore peace of mind, and didn't have peace in my life. You know, and even, you know, a few years ago, you know, the temper, the anger wasn't, you know, where I wanted it, and that would throw off the peace, and then I wouldn't sit in quiet. But it's just like, you know, the worst thing that I experienced right now is kind of like to get bored, and I'm fully aware of that, and I want to embrace it. I want to go, okay, what is that? Why is this feeling? You know, I just want to sit in that and go, okay, what is it? And to me, it's just like cold water. And lately, part of the finding the quiet thing is if I go to the puppy park in the morning to beat the heat, it's full of dog walkers, you know. So some people got, you know, 5 dogs, some people have 10, some people 15, you know. So there can be 200 dogs in that dog park. And what I would opt to do is, like, I'm going to go later. I'm going to go like at 12:30, 1 o'clock. Why? There's hardly anybody there. Why would you do that? It's like the hottest day of, the hottest time of the day. And I'm like, aha. You know, I'm willing to go outside when it's the hottest time of the day to be in quiet with Zen. And I'm like, okay, this is a, because again, the thing I've been thinking about lately was the heat. You know, I was dreading it. I was checking the weather. I wanted to talk about it with people. And I'm like, well, that heat thing is just like the dentist, almost like the cold. Oh, never going to go in cold water. Hate cold water. Boom. Got rid of that. So I started doing these things, you know, staying very aware, very, you know. You know, my conscious was focused on, I am outside right now, and how is it? You know, it's like cold. Now, documentary, when that woman was swimming under ice, and she said, you know, cold is a sensation. It's not pain. And that just stuck with me. And I'm like, I applied that going, well, heat, the sun. I mean, that's just, it's not pain. It's just a sensation. So I'm like walking outside, and I'm thinking about it. And again, this is that whole, you know, training your mind. I'm going to think about it this way. I'm going to kind of look at it this way. And the more you do it, pretty soon, like, oh, I look at it that way. So I'm walking outside, and, you know, if I'm at the puppy park, you know, I might be there for an hour. And, you know, most of the time now we're just kind of sitting. And I'm able to do that. And it's totally quiet. And once I think there's like three dogs there. And I just completely love it. And now when I'm sitting there, I'm like, there's spots where there's shade. So I sit in the shade. But I'm like, this is still like so cool that the heat doesn't really bother me. And like the, you know, I wasn't loving it on Sunday when it was 106, but I was completely okay. You know, I'm like, oh, okay, this is what it is. This is data. This is, you know, what I'll do. This is how I'll approach the day, and, you know, on and on and on. But it was, you know, like I said, to me, it was just a big epiphany. I went, okay, here I am. What's good? You know, what am I protecting? What do I value? What do I really enjoy? What am I searching for if I am searching for something? And, but then I started thinking, like, you know, it is the feeling of content, like I'm not searching, I'm not reaching, I'm not striving for anything. And it's like, well, I kind of feel like, oh, hey, I did it. What? Well, I attained quiet and peace, and neither one I had. And I'm good. Like, I want to enjoy this. I don't want anything to take away from this. This is the best I've ever felt. I love the quiet. Like, I go through the day and I do things where it stays quiet. I'm like, well, I did that yesterday. I probably do that again today. You know, where I go, who I engage with, you know, it's, I'm like, well, I'm not going to change anything. I'm not going to do anything. You know, like I said, I'm highly aware going, okay, if I start getting into that. So there's a case. I haven't made anything in a while, and I found this old sawhorse. And it looks like a smaller, like if you think sawhorse is, this is just a little smaller one. But it was that old wood, and it was a gray color. And I love that stuff. So right away, I just see it, you know, on the side of the road. And I was walking in, and I just grabbed it. And it was just all, it was just made cool. Like, it wasn't just six pieces of wood slammed together. To make, I mean, you can make a sawhorse out of anything. You know what I mean? Just make a triangle with two boards, and, you know, you're halfway there. So just constructed well. This is a gray wood, and I'm walking home, and I get home, and like, I got it sitting outside, and I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, what am I going to do with it? Do I need it when it's done? If it looks amazing, what am I going to do for it? Is it going to serve me? Is there room? You know, I went through this whole debate because it was just normal. Like, oh, and I did. I'm grabbing it, taking it home. But before I did any amount of work on it, I was like, why? Why this? Why that? Why? And then my final answer was, I just want to bring this wood back to life. Because it's peaceful to me. It's zen to me to sand. I enjoy the process, sanding it, you know, bring it, you know, down to nothing, and then staining it. And all of a sudden you see this beautiful wood come back to life. And I did that in the whole process. You know, you sand it a few times, and then you stain it a couple times, and then, you know, I do Neosporin. Nope, I don't use Neosporin anymore on my woodworking. Polyurethane. And just, you know, it takes, you know, a couple, 2-3 weeks or whatever. And so, I mean, just the whole process I loved. And I got done with it. And on the side of it, there was this brand that said Burro, B-U-R-R-O, and had a little burned head of a donkey. and it was Burrow Brand. And that, it just stuck with me. I don't know why. And it was kind of, with the gray wood, it was kind of this red paint. And I sanded it all down, but you could still see the brand and the burrow head, which I kind of liked. It just wasn't red anymore. It was just, you know, wood color. And so it was like, I finished it, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to keep it. I found a little spot for it. I'm like, I just like it. Part of me is like, oh, put a piece of leather and foam on the top and make it like a bench seat, and then, oh, I'll add stuff to it. And I'm like, okay, now I don't know. There's no real plan. I like what it is. It's done, and I like it enough to keep it. But it was this whole, like, I used to make stuff to make stuff. You know, it was, kept me distracted, kept me busy, you know, kept my hands going. And that was some form of peace. But now it was just kind of cool to go, okay, do I need to do this? Why would I do this? When it's done, what am I going to do with it? You know, this whole process. So anyways, it's about a couple days since I finished it. I'm enjoying it. I like it. It's cool. And I'm like, I'm going to Google that Burrow Brand. And it turns out it's this company in California. And it was this one guy named Jim who started the company 45 years ago. And I think it was one of his sons was now working with him. And they had one other picture of a guy. And I go, oh, it's this whole company. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to send this, you know, the stages of it. What it looked like when I found it, sanded it, and stained. Just to this guy. And I didn't care. Like, I thought, okay, if you send this, are you hoping, oh my God, I love it, thank you so much? And then you don't even hear from the guy, like, why did I do that? That sucked. And you have all this feeling. And again, it was just why. He goes, why are you sending this? I go, I don't know. If I was that guy and I started a company 45 years ago and someone found one of mine and it was old and abandoned and, you know, discarded, and someone took the time to sand it and stain it and make it look awesome, I go, I would just make me smile. But that's me. So I'm going to send it. And if I don't hear from them, I don't care. And if I hear from them and it's not, you know, positive, or, you know, obviously I just think the person didn't care. He just wouldn't, you know, email me back. And it was a few days, and all of a sudden I got, you know, I can just read it. Look at that. Good job, Tom. Jim. Hi, Tom. Wow. Like what you did with your vintage burrow. Both the stain and the unfinished look great. Thanks for sending the images of your art, and thanks for putting the burrow back in use. And I was like, there you go. But my point being, it was just very peaceful to me. You know, me looking at it and going, am I going to do this? And my decision gave me peace. And when I finished it, I was at peace. And when I sent that email, I was at peace and didn't care if I got anything back. But when I got that back, because I didn't send out the pictures to anybody, I didn't post the pictures to anybody, so I wasn't sharing it. But it was just kind of cool that I went through that kind of in my head, and then it played out kind of how I wanted to. But like, again, I didn't even think about even putting it on the podcast. So it was like, no one was going to hear about it at all. And then this little story happened. And I went, well, see, that's me even creating peace in my life with what I'm doing. So that was highly, it was just a really, really cool, rewarding moment. All right, moving along. So I was talking to a client, and he had this epiphany that I just loved. So he's at a park with his son at sunset. And he sees a friend of his son's. And he looks and he sees this other child's father. And he hadn't met him yet. So they sit down and they're watching their two boys play. My client explains to me, like, this amazing moment, like life had stood still, it stopped. He's just in a great place, you know, himself, and he goes, here I am watching my son, you know, he's running around, and, you know, photographers call it the, you know, golden hour when the sun is setting. So it was just brilliant, and, you know, it was just this like magical moment. The father that he's never met before, and we're just talking the entire time, he's stressing about his son. You know, what's he doing? Is he going to get hurt? Just on edge, worried, stressed the whole moment. And I don't know what was said, but the guy goes, "Yeah, I'm talking about this with my therapist." And you know, I was like, "Well, that's good that he's going to therapy." But my client was like, "You know, same moment, same park, same sunset, two dads, two sons, and two completely different experiences." And I love that my client saw that. Like, he's like, "Wow, where I am is good, and I'm enjoying this moment." And right next to him, you know, it isn't right, wrong, good, bad. It was just different. This guy was not enjoying his moment at all. He couldn't see the good. He couldn't let go of the worry, the fear. And that didn't taint, you know, my client's experience. He was just immediately aware of the difference. And I think in those moments, then you become even more thankful, because I think you can see in others sometimes the older versions of ourselves. But I love that. So Sunday, I've done this drive before, but just to get out of the house because it was going to be hot, and, you know, get zen a little bit, you know, outside, do something before it is hot. I'm like, let me just take this drive up PCH. And I've always loved the drive. And I'll stop at like three beaches, Topanga, El Pescador, and Leo Carrillo. And I just, you know, stop the car, park, get out. There's places to, you know, walk, whatever I can. If there's high tide, I can't. Okay, get back in the car. But I start driving, and I'm thinking to myself, I haven't been to the beach in a long time. This will be kind of cool. And, you know, I won't get back that late, but, you know, we kind of got zen some exercise, some outdoor, and then we can kind of chill inside because it's going to be super hot. I start, and as soon as I get to, well, I get to PCH, but as soon as I start getting to the beach area where they surf, I guess it's the best beach day ever, because it is packed. So I'm driving up to Topanga, which is my first beach, and there's literally no parking. And it's early, like it's probably 7:30 a.m. And I'm like, this is just in, like, I pick, you know, the one day, and I get up early so there's no traffic before anybody's out, you know, before anything's going on. And I'm like, yeah, but not surfers. Surfers are out there by like 6 a.m. But it was just packed. And I kind of chuckled, like, I picked the one day to go hang out at the beach when it's the best surf day ever. So, I mean, you literally can't park. So I'm like, okay, I'm leaving. So I'm like, all right, we'll just go to the next one. But then it was fine. I'm like, it doesn't matter. I know I'm going to stop at a beach. I know we're going to get out. I know we're going to walk. And it really doesn't matter. And I just was kind of content. And then all of a sudden I see two bicyclists. There you go. Wow, that got funky for a moment. And they were working on the one bike. And it just, I'm like, your day? Because I thought that's got to just be the worst. You know, I'm not a bicyclist. Why is that such a hard word for you to say right now? Bicyclist. You know, so I don't know, but do they carry all the tools they need? I mean, you got to have something that happens. But I mean, these guys were just kind of sitting there like they look like they're a little bit stuck. And I thought, wow, your day could just get so bad. And it was just that reminder, like, I know that. And I'm like, well, don't dwell on, and I wasn't. And I'm like, don't dwell on the, you know, you couldn't park at that beach and there's a bunch of surfers out. Because your day could get a lot worse. You know, and then think about the, you know, the sprained ankle, which is way better. Running on it, fine. There was a couple points top and side that still stayed pretty sensitive, but running every morning, you know, there's still points where I'll kind of tuck my leg under where you kind of have that top of your foot kind of being stretched, and I'll feel a little something there, but for the most part. But again, like, again, things are going to, you know, happen. And so, like I said, the next spot, and then this is like the coolest thing, because I'll typically just hang out for a second, like the next couple, well, the two beaches, just I walk to a point, and I look over, and it's kind of a bit of a walk to get there, so Zen's kind of out and about, and then I just kind of walk back. But I got to that point, and this was the beach called El Pescador, and I'm like, I'm just going to sit here, and I'm not the guy that goes to the beach with a towel and sits on it. Like, I never go to the beach and sit. So when I would do this drive and stop, it's like I'm just walking around, hanging out with Zen. Then we get back in the car, but I decided to chill. And there was this long wave that was curling. And that's, you know, it's very rhythmic and it's very meditative. And I'm like, God, it's like your eyes can be open and this can be like meditation. And then I was just like, you got to just sit here more often and just, because now I don't, you know, I really enjoy this sitting because I like what's in my head. And Scott said he recently took a break from podcasts and he was just like, I just want less voices in my head. And I was just like, it just resonated with me because I do enjoy what's in my head. Like if I'm sitting outside, if I'm walking Zen, if I'm at the puppy park, if I'm driving in the car, like I enjoy what enters my head. Like I like what's going on in my head. So this is the last, all right, the last note here. This is one of the things I wrote down outside. This was a trippy thing. This tripped me out. So at the worst time in my life, I was 48. Like I was just out of AA, just moved out, just moved to LA. On paper, it was, and that's why, you know, I thought of like me on paper right now, it's the kind of the worst I'd ever felt. And I remember I was back in Minnesota visiting and I ran into a girl from high school and she said, oh, what are you doing? And I remember just going, yeah, I'm just training. Like it was such a disappointment because I'd always was doing all this stuff and nothing was clicking, nothing moved forward, nothing, you know, just out of the, you know, the divorce, just out of AA, just moved to LA by myself. And, you know, it's kind of like why I just, you know, wanted to kind of go to Minnesota for a minute. But, you know, run into someone from the past and think, hey, how's your life right now? And I'm like, wow. But I wrote down, at the worst moment in my life, which I said 48, just out of AA, divorced for the second time, just, you know, moving back to LA by myself, I was not successful at anything. I wrote down on the side, on paper. Not one area of my life up until that moment. So I would like look and go, wow, I'm not going to the beach because there's pictures of the beach. And in that picture on the beach was a frame I made. I'm like, wow, I'm not making frames. And I'm like, yeah, and I haven't acted and I'm not doing, you know, I'm not pursuing this. And it was just like, none of those things happened. It's like none of them to me were successes. And then this thing hit me. And I wrote, nothing successful externally. Which had to happen to force me to look within and begin being successful at the internal, which was me. So in that moment of going, all these areas, nothing's really successful. And I'm like, yeah, but you are. It's like, what do you mean? It's like, well, you made it to 48. You made it through AA. You know, like you got out of that marriage. You relocated to LA. You know, in that moment, I wasn't. But looking back, it's like, but that's where my time and energy was going. It took a lot for me to get through the day, you know, to find out that my ex was cheating from her best friend and that I couldn't say anything. And I had to stay there for another month. And then I had to pack up everything, you know, deconstruct this first garage man room I've ever had. And no idea where I was going to move. No idea where I was going to put stuff. No storage unit. We like completely lost in that moment. But I got through it. And I did go to AA. I was asking for help. I had that courage. I didn't quit on me. I didn't give up on me. And I just said earlier in this podcast, you know, the day I moved in here, I was like, okay, here's what I'm thankful for. And that wasn't a plan. I just felt it. Like, it was super quiet. I knew the difference, but I just was, she was gone. And it was just like this peaceful feeling. And I'm like, that's what I'm thankful for. No one's on me. No one's doing to me what she was doing. And therefore, there was a little bit of peace. And then you fast forward going, wow. I'm talking about quiet and peace, deliberately in that order, because I have discovered, you know, in my life what was truly important, and what I've achieved and what I can sustain. So here's the last few winding down. Then I can put the fan and the AC back on. So there's something that happened in the news, and it just really affected me. There's a professional football player that just got signed as a rookie, and he was a punter. And I actually now forget the team. But he had just made the team, and it came out that he was accused of raping a girl, I think a year ago, like he was just out of high school or something, with two other dudes. And I was like, and then the team released him. So I got in this whole, like, on one side, I was like, what a horrible thing to come back to you. You know, this one night, you know, you obviously did not care about anything. And you chose to do something because you could. And not ever thinking that would come out or be found out. And you get to the pinnacle moment. I mean, if you make a professional football team, you've been dreaming about professional football since you were a child. So you know that is your lifelong dream. Just like that, it's gone. And then I went on the flip side because I saw this. I think it was his parents. He said, you know, innocent until proven guilty. But I guess not in this case. And I was like, I mean, to me, you don't get accused of, you know, now I'll stand corrected. So, yeah, okay, there are innocent people that get accused, and that's a horrible thing. But typically, you know, you get accused of something bad. You know what I mean? Say, hey, did you hear Tom rob the bank? Like, huh? Well, he was dabbling with these guys. You know, you're not going to hear that. You know what I mean? That I robbed the bank. It's just, I'm not in that realm at all. I'm not looking to scam anybody. I'm not looking to cheat any. You know what I mean? I'm not in that neighborhood. I'm not in that area. And maybe, you know, this dude had, whatever. I don't know anything about the guy at all. But if he was innocent, I mean, then I thought, well, that is kind of crazy. Like, if for some crazy reason, you know, all of a sudden just someone accused you of it. Like, there would be people that was like, well, you know, I mean, that just happens. You know, if you heard something bad about me, I just think there's a percentage of people that would be like, well, it's like, well, why would it, why, you know, and it just affected me, because then I felt really bad. I felt really bad for the dude. If, you know, he was truly innocent. Like, that's, you know, again, when someone gets thrown in, you know, jail for life and they're innocent, like, I'm like, you know, you hear those stories and you're like, yeah, be thankful that doesn't happen to you. That hasn't happened to you. But like I said, because there was this girl and then she came on the TV and she talked about it, her father came on and he talked about it, and there's two other dudes involved. I mean, it was just such a sad thing. Like, that dude's life was just done. And it was just, I don't know, it just really affected me. You know, like, I'm glad, you know. Like, I look back and I know what my struggles were. I know what my hurdles were. You know, I know what my flaws were. But to go through something like that in life, because it was like, boom, there's his picture on national TV, and it was like every day, and it was like, you know, accused of rape. And I'm like, if I saw my picture on the national news today where everything is televised and there's a billion channels and, you know, a billion streaming. Like, it's just, there's just more coverage now than ever before. And it was like, it's just, like, you know, before the, you know, the courts, the jury, before any of that, like, the dude's life is ruined by just a horrible decision. And, you know, as it should. But it just was like, wow. I don't know. The next one, I'm at the puppy park. And it is in the afternoon. And I share this text with Scott. And I'm like, hey, this is that thing. I'm like, I'm going to go when it's a little hotter outside to sit in the quiet. And I'm just kind of texting him going, you know, it's, I don't know how hot it was. And I'm just sitting here and I'm trying to just be, you know, aware of the sensation of it and sitting in it. And it was kind of a cool moment. And I hope you're doing well. He texts me back. He goes, yeah, I'm going to meet a friend whose wife died. And I was like, my moment changed instantaneously. Like, I was like highly aware of like a lack for better verbiage chemically. You know, it's just like my body just felt different immediately. But the moment shifted. But it wasn't bad. And then I was like, text Scott back and I said, well, my moment just shifted. And I said, you know, I just became even more thankful that I'm sitting here, you know, doing what I'm doing and appreciating it and being thankful. So it was like this, you know, I'm feeling something, send a text, get a text back, changes everything. And I think about that for a moment. And then I step back and I look at the whole thing. And I'm like, all right, that's cool, you know. And, you know, data, collect data, move forward. The cold showers continue. They're a little bit easier when it's, it's 106 outside. But it's such, I love it. You know, get the water just running, you know, mild and slowly just turn the hot off. And then you're sitting there. And man, I get out and I just feel so good. And, you know, it's supposed to help your resting heart rate and, you know, a lot of positive qualities. So if I can give anybody a nudge to do that, do it. Just definitely do it. And it's a great way to do it because, you know, you can just turn the hot water off slowly and, you know, get it to whatever it is and then just sit there. And then, you know, turn it off and you're good to go. But it's definitely one of the more rewarding things. And again, I don't enjoy going in the heat. But I want to go out in the heat because I want to conquer that. Oh, it's so hot. Because, you know, Scott and I were talking about people like, and it just resonated with me, like going, oh, I wanted to do this, but it's so hot. You know, I was going to go. I had plans. I had things written down. And it's so hot. I can't, you know, just, and I'm like, yep, that sounds like me. You know, that this is bad and you can't go outside. Now you got to be inside. And it's like, whatever, dude. Like, it's data. Go outside. You're not going to start on fire. Just quiet your mind. Be out there as long as you want. And then come back in and just be thankful that you're inside. And it's nice. And be thankful that everything you have, you know what I mean? Just work on that head. And so, like I said, to get to that point where you're enjoying the cold shower and you get done and you feel good. You're like, this was not this for, you know, 57 you know, in a half years, there's nothing about the cold water I was going to do. And then poof, I'm like, oh, this is a cool thing now. Like, I added this dope thing to my life. I will end on this because it was my favorite moment. I'm at Griffith Park, which I refer to as Squirrel Country for Zen because it's full of squirrels. We always, you know, different ways to, you know, walk up there, different places, but we kind of had this loop that we had, and we kind of started ending up in this area where there were just a lot of squirrels. And this woman was sitting there one day with her dog, and she goes, yeah, I call it Squirrel TV, and I just loved it because, you know, now I get Zen to kind of sit and then lay down, and we'll be like 10 feet from a tree, and these squirrels will come all the way down to the ground and just be like 4 feet away from Zen's head and Zen I know is loving it. And I'm like, well, if you sit there and you lay down, you know, they'll just think you're not aggressive and they'll come down and be around you. So it's just grown into this super dope, cool thing. And same place where I've probably had three or four coyote interaction experiences. The one with the two coyotes that we sat down, that was at a whole different place. I forget the name of it now, but that was at a different place. But bumped into at least three, four coyotes at the place, and then the squirrels. So we get there, and it's like 11. So it's hot, not a lot of people there. We're walking a little common area next to kind of this playground for kids. So it's kind of a populated area when there's people around. And I turn this corner, and I think Zen's looking. I think it was Zen first that spotted him. So I kind of look up this hill, and we're next to it. But I kind of duck like underneath, and all of a sudden I see a deer, full grown deer. No antlers, so probably, you know, I couldn't even see if there was little antlers. I don't know what type of deer it was, male, female, I had no idea. Typically, where I come from, you have bucks, antlers, male, does, no antlers, female. And it's 40 feet away from us, just walking up this hill. And there's a woman with her dog walking towards me. And I just point like dramatically up the hill, like, you've got to look now. I don't say anything, but I just point like that. And she's like, oh my God. And now it had kind of walked up and it was just standing at the top of the hill. And I go, yeah, I said it was walking. And there was this kind of like this sunlight through the trees. I said it was walking up that sunlit path when I first saw it. And I didn't want to scare it when, you know, she came up. So that's why I pointed. And then I said to her kind of this, but it was in my head. It was like, I've come to this place so many times for 6 years and have seen a bunch of wildlife. And when I'm there, it's like a bunch of people. So you don't think, oh, but the trees are huge. The area is huge. I mean, you are out in, you know, the woods. You are out in nature. And I thought, it's such, and I just had this overflowing, joyful moment of how cool it is to go to some place that you've always gone to and you're super familiar with and then be surprised. Like, I had no idea. And this woman was like, oh, yeah, I've seen, you know, them before. And she was, there'd be a mom walking. I said, you're kidding. And I was just like, you're like, this place I've always come to, now there's deer. Like, and this was like 11 a.m. So like to me, middle of the day. And I was just out walking around. I'm like, and those live animal experiences, you know, I just mentioned the coyotes and the, you know, seal coming up on shore. It's just Zen and I, and like, you know, 50 years, none of that happening. And now I got these live, you know, wild animal kind of moments, just running into the thing. And for me, it just, I don't know, it just fills my heart, because in the moment, I'm like, this is so awesome. And then I'm like, this didn't happen before. Like, I'm so present and I'm so aware and I'm so in the moment. Because, you know, there's two other people that walked by that didn't look up. And then these two Asian women walked by after that woman left. And I pointed up and they were like, looking at me like, what are you? And I'm like, it's a deer up there. And they were like, I just didn't think they understood it at all. But like, no one's out there like looking like that. You know what I mean? Like, they're able to see that. They're just walking by and it's fine. But I'm just loving my experience. And I'm loving my experience because of how much quiet there is. And where I am, the version I am of myself, that version of me, can enjoy that quiet because my mind is quiet and I am at peace. So if I'm, you know, dangling a carrot for the listeners, if I'm saying, hey, come to my well by the water I sell, this is the stuff when I'm talking to clients, going, hey, that sprained ankle day, that was a dope day. Hey, finding a bunch of quiet, finding some real peace in my life. This is so cool. Oh my God, ran into a deer the other day walking Zen at a park. You know, it's just, it's like, I like what's happening in my life and I'm becoming the best me. And I'll say this all the time. You want to impact the world. You want to have the biggest impact on the world. Be the best version of yourself. And that's what I'm doing. You know, so who I talk to, they're affected by this version of me. And maybe that affects them in a certain way. And then they interact with other people at being a better version of themselves. And there you've got the little ripple effect. And therefore it can affect more and more people by you. Just little old you being the best you. But I really wanted to share that I was totally excited about, you know, like, wow, this is what I have in my life. How did I get here? I have a bunch of quiet and I have peace. And I love it, and I'm thankful. And deem yourselves worthy of doing what you need to do to get where you need to get. So you can just enjoy whatever it is that you're doing. Get the voices out of your head. Get the worry out of your head. Get the stress out of your head. I need. Well, let's just pump the brakes a little bit. Let's just sit in some quiet. Let's try to find some peace. And let's be aware. Just be aware of you and your needs. And when you do that, you get a little selfish and you put that time and energy into you to find out what makes you a little bit better. The people that love you, the closest ones to you, will not care how you got there. They will love the fact that you're a better version of yourself. And they'll be able to tell. And then that will inspire them. So just remember, at the end of every day, you are worth it. Welcome to your Pro You Moment. Stoked you're here. Love it when you're here. You get here and I get here. I'm pumped. Let's begin to control that which we can. Seated on the floor, legs folded if we can, eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over the hips, navel tucked into the spine. We'll draw the inhale through the nose. We'll allow the exhale out the mouth. We will focus on that continuous ebb and flow of the breath, connecting our mind and body in this moment, making us present. We will stay there to the best of your ability. Anything enters the space between your ears, kindly, calmly ask it to leave. Return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. You know, there's a, I believe there's definitely a little joy inside when I do these podcasts now, because I'm excited to share what I'm experiencing, and I'm crazy appreciative of what that experience is. And when I look back, all I'd been through, you know, how late in life it was, I'm just so glad that I did what I did. I kept asking for help. I kept searching for answers. And then I began to look within, and I started to work on me. I started to like me. And I started to question everything I was doing and why. And not in a bad way, just to discover this thing I'm doing, who is it serving? Where is my time and energy going? And the fact that I didn't know any answers to any of that and started a podcast, and here I am now. I like what I get to share. And I am proud. I'm proud of what I've done. I'm proud of how I got here. I'm proud of how I feel. I'm proud of how I walk the earth. When I'm telling people to deem themselves worthy, that's what I'm talking about. You got to do it for you. It is on you. Little things done consistently. And you too will find quiet and experience peace. Peace and God bless.